There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Influential, an interview show about passion, about purpose, about finding that spark that sets your soul ablaze and what it takes to keep the flame burning. Society tells us that people who fit a certain superficial checklist are the ones who matter, who have the influence. But in actuality, it's those who break out of the box and commit to their higher purpose who have the true power. So kudos to the new in crowd. I'm your host, Sarni, also known as the Alignment Alchemist. Let's begin.
Welcome, welcome. You know, something ironic I've noticed is that as our society creates advances in technology that help us connect with people worldwide, we often simultaneously become disconnected from the people closest to us, many times the people in our own home. Sometimes an invisible barrier between couples emerges and creates a distance that many of us just don't know how to overcome. Even though we look to modern advancements as the way of the future, ironically, ancient teachings seem to hold the answer. Our guest experts tonight are diving into the juicy topic of sexual enlightenment, how to create lasting fulfillment in life, love, and intimacy. Dr. Elsbeth Moit and Freddie Zintal-Weaver are internationally renowned relationship and intimacy coaches and certified Tantra yoga teachers. They were featured on Showtime's documentary, Sexual Healing, and on the Emmy Award-winning NBC show, Starting Over. Their revolutionary approach, Tantra Nova, teaches practices and awareness to integrate the sexual with the emotional, intellectual, and spiritual to create a sense of wholeness within oneself as well as in relationships. So we are going to have a great show tonight, and every listener will also receive instructions to get a free giveaway guide on 10 practices to create intimacy and love. We'll let you know how to receive that at the end of the show. And also, please remember to follow this blog talk show, follow on Twitter at AlignMeSarni. And for married women, please join us at Wonder Wives. And one of our fellow Wonder Wives will be hosting this interview today. Yara, take it away.
Hi, guys. Let's keep our seatbelts fastened, ears open, and get ready because Elsbeth and Freddie are going to give us some guides so that we can know how to spice it up for our husbands. We're all looking to do that. How are you doing today, Elsbeth?
Oh, I'm doing absolutely great. I'm so excited to be here with you, Yara, and to be with your audience and to share what's possible.
Awesome. And how are you doing, Freddie?
Great. Excited to be here. Always wonderful to share and listen. And, great to be here.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, so we're going to jump right into the questions so that we can get any questions that we have from anybody that's listening or want to ask a question, they can always ask it on the chat or they can text at the same time so that we can get the questions. So what I'm going to start with, and either one of you guys can take it, is what is sexual enlightenment?
Oh, wow. That's a lot to start with. Sexual enlightenment. We coined this term because what we are really about at Tantra Nova is to share and make available the possibility of integrating our sexual, emotional, or love self with our spiritual and consciousness self. And in our culture, we are actually not, and I don't mean just here in the United States, I think it's the world culture, sex and spirituality usually don't belong together. However, how we look at it is that they are two sides of the same coin. So how can we come to an integration and to a sense of oneness where our sexual self and our spiritual self are one, both in the way how we experience ourselves and the way we share ourselves with another? And as, you know, we also look at it not only with the beloved, but how we can share ourselves in the world. Because in our terms, the sexual energy is one way to express it in the bedroom and another way to use that energy as a creative energy to fuel our life, our projects, our health, our relationships.
Awesome. And how is sexual enlightenment connected to Tantra?
Well, sexual enlightenment, you know, encompasses a lot of the early practices in yoga as energy. We focus on breath, the meditative mind, and life force energy, sexual energy, in its subtle forms and aroused forms as a doorway. We often experience sex as a wonderful thing, and it's creative. Now, that's systemic. And when we're in our sexual, even in a subtle thought, if we bring consciousness to it, the divine can show up. And in that divine, as a definition, a place that is just easy breath and coming from intention, also being authentic about whatever's happening in the moment. And the life force of sexual energy is a doorway and a key, a systemic intelligence, if you will. You know, that creativity and pleasure that are fundamental in that sexual energy are replete everywhere. I mean, you know, it's found in your work, where you live, and it's in that listening that the work begins to take a shift in all of your areas of your life to a more creative, open possibility from your intention, whatever that might be.
Yeah, let me add something also about Tantra here, because this is a tradition, a school that comes from ancient times, from East India. These ancient tantrics subscribe to really cultivating the awareness of our life force energy that is sexual in nature within oneself and then also in relationship. And so Tantra is the yoga of the energetic body. Most yoga that is practiced in the West is the yoga of the physical body. You know, we stretch, we move, we contract, all of that. While Tantra is the yoga of the energetic body, so we learn more about our energies, how our energies feel in the body, how they move through our body, including our life or sexual energy. So that is where it distinguishes it from other forms of yoga. And and that is where we draw on in our work. This is why we are called Tantra Nova. Tantra from the ancient practice of Tantra, and then Nova, because we bring new and Western technologies that we have learned and experienced over the last, you know, over our lifetime and our own studies. And we bring that together. This is why we call a Tantra Nova.
Oh, okay. So how did you guys become teachers of sacred sexuality and conscious sex?
Well, you know, each of us has our story. We met in Chicago about 12 years ago through the internet, brought us together. And we, you know, we're both on our own journey, our own tantric journey, you know, you know, for good or for worse, our union has created the possibility and the reality for both of us to do those things that we innately do well and that we love to do. And it's funny, I was performing a show a couple of nights ago, And at the end of the show, which is about sexual enlightenment, we open it to the audience for sharing. And one gentleman asked, well, when do you know that special thing? Because there's a part in the show where I talk about, doing that thing that you do that only you do well, you know. And one of the things I shared with him, which is fundamental for I found in my life, is listening for that creative spark, the thing that really feels good when I do it. It doesn't necessarily fit in a box. It's that sense of, contributing in your own life and in others' lives. It's funny, I talk about, just being a gardener, and if you were a gardener and you didn't care to talk to anyone, you'd garden with such love and enthusiasm, someone would pass by your flowers and be inspired. And it's that kind of listening that is contributing to the existence, which is that life force energy again. It all equates back to that initial energetic expression of the sexual energy. There's that creativity and pleasure that is a deep listening when you bring consciousness to it.
Right. Also, let's just perhaps share a little bit about our personal, story, how we got here to this place where we are now, working together as business partners, as life partners, as beloveds, sharing this wonderful work with the world. So I grew up in Germany and came here when I was 29. And so I do remember when I was a kid, I really felt very free in my body. I remember when I have nine sisters and brothers, and on hot summer days in Germany, we just, walked around the neighborhood butt naked with an umbrella, and it was just what we did. Now, that totally shifted when I, entered puberty. My relationship with my dad changed. I got interested in boys, and, there was not that kind of freedom any longer. And I always was curious about, the sexual experience and learning and connecting. However, not until I was introduced to Tantra, which was in my early 30s, I became aware of dimensions that I never had heard of. For example, that a male can separate ejaculation from orgasm. I mean, that was like, what? And at that time, I was not satisfied in my sexual relationships. It was like the guy came and went. Their sexual energy rises quickly. A guy's sexual energy rises quickly, gets easily excited, and then also drops quickly. And like a woman's sexual energy rises slowly and is capricious and takes its time. And, if it's reawakened, then it can up to a plateau and stay there. So I often found myself just like that. He literally came and went, and I was still hanging out there, And now how I look at it is like, the guys don't really get taught in how to channel their sexual energy. And in the tantric and Taoist practices, this is actually what a man learns. And I got very curious about it. So I studied, I read books, and then not until my late 40s, I decided to go to workshops and then to a certification program. And it made such a huge impact on my life that I left my business career. I was a management consultant and started to teach, what we teach now. And at that time, I met Freddy Santal, who grew up in a tantric household, and he'll tell you about that himself.
My story is, I was introduced to this in, child of the 60s, and it was, a time of peace and love and meditation and a lot of things from India. And so I was introduced as a 10-year-old to seeing and being introduced to meditation and practice. Initially introduced to, I'll be signaling something here, introduced to these practices sex consciousness practices. I started reading and doing exercise at 15 years old and continued to you know, learn and read and have it in my relationships. Later in life, doing things in a professional way, worked in a software business. I did music, taught school, and I was able then to bring all this together in Tantra Nova. It was my place of authentic self-expression, which has been the biggest contribution that I feel I've made in my life in doing this work and all the other things I ever did. And I love those things too. But loving this thing has allowed myself to create all the things come true. And that's what we see happening more and more for couples and individuals who come through this work willingly. The things that they intend start to show up through just being present to it and also doing all the other things that you do to create whatever bridge you're building. So it's been a joy to do this.
Okay. So it sounds like you guys have done a lot of work, and we are a wise group. So how could we become more sexually enlightened and benefit from what you guys have, you know, researched and lived?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. So the work really starts with oneself, because however I function, whatever is going on in myself is immediately reflected with another. So with couples, it's also when couples come, we always have a part where we introduce them to, you know, actually to themselves, to reconnect with themselves, to reconnect to their sexual being, to their love being. And we really see this in different places in the body. So, of course, everybody knows that our sexual feelings emanate from our sexual center, which in our terms, it's like that's the sexual energy center or the second chakra. Chakra means wheel of light. And each wheel of light, so each chakra, each energy center vibrates in a certain frequency, and the second center right above the pubic bone is the center that vibrates in the sexual energy frequency or the creative energy. And then we focus on the fourth chakra, which is the heart center. It's like in the middle of the chest, between one's breasts. This is where we experience love, and love within and love for another. And then the sixth center, which is the third eye center, and where we think as well as also where we intuit and where we, you know, where our mind resides in a physical sense and where we, you know, can become conscious. So we want to connect with these centers so that we become more familiar with them and what feelings we have there. So we are not just falling in love and get totally infatuated and, you know, whenever I fall, it hurts. So I really want to become aware of my heart center and see if I'm looking for love outside or if I'm already love within. So we work with each of these centers, and so the people who come to Tantra Nova learn about that, connecting with themselves, and then we teach them how to connect from these centers with their partner or beloved.
And if you have a moment, we can give your audience an experience of this as well. If there's time, what I would suggest is you sit comfortably with your legs uncrossed and put your hand on your belly, could be left or right hand. And as you inhale, fill your hand up with your belly, extending the diaphragm and belly into your hand on your inhale, and then exhaling back up and out, just flattening tummy. Now, that's parasympathetic breathing. Stay with that breathing, and we're just going to do that for a couple of breaths, maybe 5 seconds. And just watch your thoughts. Just stay in the breath. keep the focus, any drifting of the mind, on the breath coming into the nose, down the trachea, into your lungs, extending into your belly like a big balloon on your inhalation. Exhaling back up and out, all in your own pace, depth, and rhythm. Just in that few moments of stillness, in the watching of that, is what we want to extend your consciousness to observing. And it's in that place that becomes familiar in the times when we're in our maybe deepest despair, or in our own process of creating, which is kind of chaotic sometimes, that there's a kernel of this stillness that we can tap into that's always available, and it's developing capacity to tap into that, that so much of the resistance to what we want to create begins to disappear just in the simple process of living itself.
And this is the place, the stillness we experienced just a moment ago, when the mind slows down. That is the moment of intimacy, being intimate with oneself, connecting intimately with oneself. So that, of course, Yara, all needs to be practiced, because our mind is so busy, we won't, you know, lots of stuff goes on, and not to mention even how the mind is busy in the bedroom, you know, something like, oh, what is he doing? Why is he touching me here? Or he just wants it for his own sake. And the same goes on for the male partner. You know, I mean, he has his conversations in the head as well. So by coming to stillness and through the breath, that is really the best and most effective way, both my own breath and then connecting with Freddie's breath, where we synchronize our breathing, and that lets us drop out of the busy mind into our heart center and into our love connection.
So with that, how can we create like a lasting intimacy and love at any age?
Oh, wow. So that really builds on what we just discussed with respect to dropping into that intimate space. We are often so focused on the end result, you know, like having an orgasm, having a climax. Does it feel good enough? Am I going to get there? Or he is too fast, or he thinks she is too slow. You know, so it is like in that busyness that we miss the point of connecting and being together. Again, we teach guys how to actually connect their sexual center with their love center, like their, what we call in the tantric context, the lingam or penis, which is the lingam translated as magic wand or wand of light, much more endearing than the clinical word penis or, you know, all kinds of other not so pleasing names for that. So how a man can learn to be with his magic wand in a way that he can have that fuel that is so wonderful travel up into his heart center. And he wants to connect from his heart center to the woman's heart center, because most women, when they want to connect, they start feeling in the heart center. You know, for example, they say, I'm just kiss me first, because that is how we can connect with ourselves and with our intimate self as a woman. Most men, when they want to connect, they start feeling in their sexual center. There's nothing good or bad about it. It's just how it is. So this is why he wants to, channel his wonderful aroused energy up into his heart center. From his heart center, he focuses and breathes into the woman's heart center. When her heart center opens, her sexual center or yoni center opens. Yoni means sacred space in Sanskrit. And again, this is a much more endearing term than our clinical vagina or all kinds of other derogative terms. that don't really allow for appreciating and honoring and respecting a woman's, you know, sacred space. So anyway, we then have a circuit from his magic wand up into his heart, from his heart into her heart, then from her heart down into your sacred, in her into her sacred space or yoni, and then from her yoni space into his magic wand again. You know, so we have like a circuit going, and that really connects the couple. Again, that needs to be practiced. However, with these techniques and practices, a couple can generate intimacy over and over again. This is why we call it creating lasting intimacy. It's not something that happens by chance. It's something that's generated together.
And I might add that, you know, for as we age, our energy levels change. And it's being with change that one has to understand and get the stillness of that breath. It's in that stillness of the breath that we're able to more fully experience those elements of change that are always the story, moving towards the intention of whatever it is you're wanting to create or feeling good about or feeling even in your life, you know. So it's really essential to keep breathing consciously. That's the best I could sum it up to. Keep breathing consciously.
Now, your Tantra Nova approach, how would that assist men in learning more about a woman?
Do you want to take it, darling?
Sure. The Tantra Nova approach is an integration of the yin-yang, which is the masculine-feminine dynamic of all of us. If we think of us when we're zygotes, before we're really bought into biological full existence, we're zygotes, you know, or we're androgynous, male, female. Then it's decided somehow that the, you know, male or female. And even as, you know, full adults, we have aspects of testosterone and estrogen in our system. As we age, it reverses itself. And, you know, it's really for the man getting that, the woman getting that, that one can understand the other more fully because we can see ourselves in each other. And that's rooted in the sexual energetic experience, our kundalini energy, that is really energy before it's manifested as angry energy or happy energy or sad energy. When kundalini energy manifests as sexual energy, it's creative, it's pleasurable, and, you know, males and females can see more easily into this sense of, we construct particular ritual practices that can allow someone to become more present to the aspects of feminine and masculine nature. And it's in that that the male gets a new dimension, the woman gets a new dimension, and we can understand each other again more fully because we can see ourselves in each other.
Yeah, and
okay.
Also, Yara, there's a very particular healing ritual, we call it healing ritual, that we teach where the woman is the receiver and the man is the giver. And that's a tremendous learning for the men to become a whole new listener of the feminine and of his woman. Because, you know, it's like, of course, we all know men and women are quite different in many ways. So how can we learn to step into the other's world and get more of who or of who he or she is? So in this particular practice, the man learns to listen more deeply to the feminine. There are very concrete instructions Freddie teaches the guys so that they can listen from a new place, including that, you know, when something may not work for a woman or she cries or she gets angry, what a man wants to do usually is, he wants to fix something. He wants, you know, he doesn't like her to, he doesn't like to see her cry, or you know, if she doesn't get satisfied, he doesn't know what to do, so he tries harder. So in that ritual, he learns new tools and skills, how to be with a woman so she feels really gotten and supported. So the man really walks away with a new way of understanding, of being present, also to get himself out of the way. So he learns about how to manage his own sexual energy, you know, how to learn it up, how to breathe it up from the sexual center into the heart center so he can be fully there for her. Because that ritual is like where he is the giver. It's not about his sexual pleasure. Doesn't mean that it may not feel very good to him, but it's not at that moment to express it because he wants to be present to the woman. And what opens up for the woman is a being listened to, being heard in a whole new way. And in that space, she starts to trust more. She opens up more. She relaxes. She allows herself to receive. So we really have experienced that wonders can show up in that connection between the man and the woman. And so that's a big part of the learning that a male can receive when he comes here to, you know, study a Tantra Nova.
Okay, and what about us wives? What could we learn?
Oh, okay.
Well, you know, wife takes on a big meaning, you know, and wife, like anything else in life, is, you know, finding a way to communicate clearly what you feel and what's going on authentically, and the stillness to be able to listen to the other even when it doesn't agree with what you see, believe, or think. And, you know, choosing your wifehood, whatever that looks like for you. When you ask, what do you think would be the suffering of a wife? I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Oh, so like for the woman, what's often is there that she doesn't feel being gotten. That because our energy and our rhythm is so different, that for the woman it's really important, just what Freddie said, to build on that, that it's to listen to herself so that she can communicate to her man what she wants, what she doesn't want. Of course, what we need for that is that a man is open to listen and receive requests, you know, because often men feel criticized when the woman makes a request, like, oh, this is what she wants, so I did it wrong, you know. No, it's like, oh, thanks, baby, for letting me know. You know, but that needs to be learned.
Mm-hmm.
And for the woman, that she is free and open just to share what's so for her without embarrassment, without being worried that she hurts his feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's so important. Now, of course, there is another ritual we teach where we reverse roles. We call it the healing for the men, and healing not that there's anything wrong with us or that we are sick, healing in the sense of coming back to wholeness, reintegration of the self. And so the woman supports the men in the healing for the men ritual, where she gets to listen in a whole new way, you know, really stepping into his world. What is there for him? How does he, you know, work and function versus expecting that he should feel the way I feel as a woman? No, he doesn't. So for the woman to develop that listening of the male, of his energy, of his wishes and desires, and supporting him in channeling his wonderful life or sexual energy, his lingam energy or magic wand energy, up into his heart center. And again, it's a very particular practice. This is not lovemaking. This is learning something about each other, which will enhance the lovemaking.
Hmm.
So, after a couple have been together for like a really long time, sometimes, you know, it's not as spicy as it was in the beginning of their relationship. Mm-hmm. So how could Tantra Nova, you know, help in that particular situation if that's what, you know, someone is experiencing?
Mm. Well, you know, in the practices and becoming more present and, you know, being aware of our life force, this creative, you know, feeling, this listening, we move more easily through the upsets that happen in life. And it's very prevalent in what you see as you, you know, continue to just breathe consciously and bring that same consciousness when you're in a sexual energetic, you know, as a self-love practice. So we teach these seminars working with couples, and then we teach a self-love practice. And most people, you know, will masturbate to, you know, a quick outcome of an orgasm. But to play in that nectar with your breath, bringing up that energy, and the nectar being the orgasmic nectar for the woman or for the man, bringing consciousness with a breath in those moments with some intention of what it is that might be there for you that blocks you from whatever, you know, thing that's blocking you in your life at the time. You know, it could be anything, relationship, money, work, I don't know, allows us to be with all of this stuff. That's life. This is just life. So these are just tools to allow us to be more fully in our life. You know, we all have this very short sort of burn that we have, this life. I don't know what's before. I don't know what's after. There are a lot of stories. Either way, it ain't this, though, you know. And this tasting and affecting and fully experiencing the ups and the downs and everything that is life is the journey. And then bringing that thing, that special thing that you love to do, as I mentioned earlier, like gardening or whatever it might be, and continuing to do the things that you love to do. And it's in that we contribute to the whole. And that starts with the kernel of listening, that creative, you know, chaotic, joyful little child, you know, mixed with the rational, bigger brain thinking Homo sapien adult, and also dancing in the ethers of, you know, this ad infinitum cosmic consciousness that we are, you know. So it's in that place that, you know, we can have more of a utopia, heaven on earth, nirvana, or whatever you believe.
Yeah, and so this being, you know, inspired by one's own life has a lot to do with how we are in relationships. You know, if someone is awfully bored or despaired or, you know, no longer enthused about their work in life and what they are doing, of course, that has an effect on the relationship as well. So where we come from, it's really essential that both partners come with their own inspiration, you know, like, and nobody else can really do this for us. So that's one aspect. And then the commitment to each other that we are an inspiration to each other and that we support each other, you know, like, for example, in our relationship, Freddie Santal's and mine relationship, is that Freddie loves to perform. He loves to be on stage. It's his kind of gardening, you know,
mm-hmm.
as he mentioned. And so I remember there was a time when I was a little resistant to it, because when he performs and prepares for performance and, you know, develops his performing skills from voice lessons to working with his theater coach and all of it, he's not available to do other things in the business. You know, so I got a little resentful until I got that if I kill that off, if I resist it, he will lose his spark in life, you know? And so I really have come to totally support him in his passion and, you know, look at opportunities where he can express himself like that. And so when he does a performance, I'm totally, you know, I'm in a supporting role. And that is very satisfying to me, because I want to support him. I love him, and I want him to express himself in life, you know. And so this is essential that we do this with each other and for each other, because this respecting and honoring each other doesn't show only up in the expression, in our expression in the world, but it also shows up in the way how we are every day with each other. You know, when he knows that I love his performing, then he gets inspired just being around me. And, of course, that has something to do then also with our intimate connection, with the way we kiss or that we kiss, you know, bringing our heart centers together, breathing together, touching each other, all of that. So this is how we recurrently bring the spice into our life, into our relationship. And it's something that really needs to be practiced regularly every day, you know, like, and that doesn't mean that we don't have moments when we fight, you know. However, we have a choice of how we long stay in our fighting or stepping out and returning to our love experience with each other.
So for us wives, it's like that have husbands that like to play video games. We should be happy that they're playing video games because it makes them happy, huh?
Well, you should, yeah, rejoice in the happiness that you have for the other and know that there's a side that they need to be willing to meet as well and listen, you know, to what your desires or happinesses are and be willing, you, to share that. And that's where we often, you know, break the connection. You know, when we think, oh, and we start to suffer in the, oh, I need to do something for them. Not that me doing something for them is really nourishing me, which is nourishing them, and that's the, you know, seeing ourselves and being ourselves in each other. And that's what's possible at any moment. It does require, you know, letting go of the survival mind, you know, which is, you know, deeply rooted in our, you know, umbilicus, in our being. And we can move above that, just as we can work with sexual energy in an intelligent way, in an enlightening way, and even in a subtle manifestation of just even the thought of, you know, what that energy is in terms of a life-creating force.
Let me say something about the survival mind a little more, because that is so essential. Like, what we mean by survival mind is like, you know, being afraid of the future or worrying about the future or being so concerned about looking good or being right, you know, that being right becomes more important than for me to connect with Freddy Santal, you know, like, but I'm really right and he's wrong. And if he only saw how wrong he was, we would just be all right. You know, that is like the survival mind. And it disconnects each other. And it actually is a disconnect of our love connection. So this is why it's so important to come back to the breath, both within oneself and with each other. We do this like during the day, you know, Freddie comes over to my desk and, you know, just holds me for a moment, or we just breathe together. Or when we go to sleep, you know, we just breathe together, the synchronized breath. And it allows for intimacy to show up. It allows for this love connection to show up. It doesn't always have to be sex, you know. It's that intimate moment that allows us to feel each other, to notice our presence. And it's deeply relaxing and it's deeply enjoyable. And for me, it reminds me of being grateful that he's lying next to me. You know, this is so precious that he's lying next to me. We don't know any moment one of us could, you know, be taken away. We don't have any guarantee. And not that I live my life from, oh my gosh, I hope it's not going to happen today. No, not like that. It's the moment when I notice how fortunate and how grateful I am for being next to him, and he is being next to me. But, and that shows up for me when I breathe together with him, you know?
So that's the mission for the wives and for the husbands. And it's just in the practice of doing that and being present of the thought and just being in the moment renews the relationship. And that's the thing that wives need to get, not need to, but could certainly benefit. And then husbands as well, or individuals, or whatever we call ourselves, you know, husbands,
mm-hmm.
wives, singles.
Yeah, dating, in all manifestations. Yeah, and so really, Yara, our work is, you know, a combination of levels. So there is that very fundamental level of that breath connection, as we just shared it in these examples. And there's then also that connection and learning to be with our sexual energy in a new way. So we work both in both realms of non-aroused energy and then also aroused energy and everything in between. And there are practices for every state, you know, available. And what we find is like that the couple has to practice together. It's not going to happen if the practice doesn't exist. So it takes a little discipline and willingness, you know, to bring yourself to that. Both partners. So back to the, you know, bringing the spark back is the commitment to the relationship in that sense that, yes, darling, we are doing these practices together, and perhaps you didn't do it yesterday, but let's connect in this very moment, and both have to be willing. Without willingness, it won't happen.
Okay, so how would you suggest us, the wives, you know, the Wonder Wives, how would you suggest us to potentially approach our husbands with wanting to, you know, take a Tantra Nova class? Would you, you know, recommend us watching, you know, the HBO series, if we could pull that up just so that they could become aware of it? What would we be able to do to kind of introduce them? Because, you know, this is a wives call, so it's mostly, you know, us on the call. So we're getting the information and we're excited about it, but how would we introduce it to our husbands who, you know, might be like, what are you talking about?
Well, going to the clips, which are in our media appearances, and it was on Showtime, not HBO, but Showtime, and it's called Sexual Healing. And there's clips there that really clearly illustrate how the practices that we teach can be a place to find more intimacy and creative expression and relight that spark. And if that's what you want and you clearly state that to your husbands and they don't want that, well, you might want to look at, you know, moving on. But, you know, that's the harmony of life. That's how you are even better together as a couple, and any partner, male or female, should want that, and that's how you share it with them. And they listen from that place, and they may not know totally what you're talking about, but your willingness and wanting that is all they need.
So yeah, these Showtime clips are really great as a beginning, and then the next level could be to get our DVDs. We have a foundational, we do have a practice CD, but I mean actually the Creating Intimacy and Love DVD that really gives a great introduction to all of that, what we talked about, but in an instructional way. We work with a group of 8 people in that DVD. It's a workshop setting with concrete practices. We talk more about the healing rituals that we mentioned earlier. Then we have a second DVD, which is an advanced DVD that we call The Discovery of Sexual Spiritual Connection, where we demonstrate the healing rituals. Now, that DVD builds on that Creating Intimacy and Love DVD. We recommend to start out with that one first, Creating Intimacy and Love DVD, and then the other one, the advanced DVD. And the third option is to come to a Tantra Nova introductory workshop. You know, we do them once a month. They are 2-hour workshops.
Mm-hmm.
They are $40 per person, prepaid, or $50 at the door. And that's a great way, you know, to work with us and to get a great taste. But all of these options we just mentioned, you know, are a great opportunity, so depending on where the couple is at. To introduce the husband, Freddie's suggestion to show him the Showtime clips on our website and the media, that is really just to even give them a sense, you know, like, you know, telling the guy that, you know, this is available. You know, do one, what about if we learn more about that? But, you know, he gets a taste of it.
Got you. Understand. Definitely.
Or, you know, Yari, there's one other thing perhaps. If, you know, sometimes one or the other in the couple may not feel comfortable in coming to a workshop, but they would feel comfortable to come to a private session, like where just this one couple, where they are the ones, and Freddie Zintal and I working with them, that's available as well, our private couple sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Now, you often speak about creativity in the context of your work. So what do you mean by that?
Well, creativity being the kernel that we listen from, that we find more opportunity to be authentically ourselves in our expression of however we're choosing to do that, in terms of making money or just being happy or recreation or listening from that creative place. So typically, because we're these big brain homo sapiens, we've been figuring out the universe for millennia, and the mind's a big thinking machine, and we've figured out how to get to Mars and live longer, and it serves us in so many ways. Yet there's a dance piece to ourselves as well that doesn't need to think about it and can just let it go and be with the moment. And that timeless creative, that's where the creative comes in. Integration with the linear allows us to experience more fully and actualize. And, yeah.
Yeah. And also, how is that related to our sexual energy? So what we have discovered, I mean, I have discovered this for myself, as well as also watching, you know, thousands of people go through our programs, that when they have opened themselves up further to their sexual energy, and for women it's in a particular way, because it's really, we hold memory on in our sexual center, the yoni center, on the cellular level in the vaginal walls. And often these memories have to do with how we were brought up, when we had our first sexual experience or a dramatic experience, or we didn't feel being listened to or whatever. Maybe there, when we clear out these memories, our creative self shows up more. So, for example, for me, I totally attribute my own clearing of my yoni center that I consciously started like 12 years ago, 13 years ago, really, you know, catapulted me into creating Tantra Nova with Freddie Zintal. There was a creative energy set free. And for males, it's often when they become more conscious of their wonderful sexual energy and no longer are so subjected to that energy. You know, like when the guy gets turned on, he just have to have sex, you know, has to do something about it. So he can learn to channel that energy, and by that, he fuels his own creativity more, like his projects, his business, his how he interacts with his wife, you know, all of that. So this is like the creative spark that we access further through that, through the work we are doing here.
Mm.
It's phenomenal. It's really phenomenal. Many women who have gone through our work and have done these sexual healing practices really have, you know, become more creative, more
mm-hmm.
self-actualized.
Totally.
Wow.
Does it make sense?
Yes, totally. Yeah. You can get out your own way, kind of.
Yeah.
But
how do we do that, Yara? You know, that is, and what I find so great is that, wow, there are means, there are practices, there are ways of learning and, you know, you know, coming to that, and that was so exciting for me when I started to learn more deeply about Tantra and the tantric practice, that wow, and the tangible results that show up.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a clearer capacity to being present. You know, clearer capacity to being present to intimacy as it shows up, and just being in a little bit of what we call the witness or observer mind, you know, and really allowing yourself to be with all of the things that aren't in line with your happiness and your creative expression in this life, together with your beloved. And it's in that, you know, that excitement, that energy, that we are more alive and better together. And that's what needs to be gardened and nourished, like anything else that matters to you.
That's awesome. Well, I am going to open it up for Jay to get on the line, just in case we have any questions from our listeners, so that we can, you know, make sure that we answer any questions from them. But we're totally going to have you host a workshop for our Wonder Wives group, which is based in Chicago. So we're going to have to invite you guys to do a workshop, and that'll be a great way to introduce it to our husbands also. So
yes, exactly. Yeah,
we'll have to contact you guys on that.
Okay. There are a few questions, and before I forget, I just wanted to say, you know, everyone we've had on this show is like a guest expert, has been tried and tested. So I will, you know, share a little bit of my story just so people know. Tantra has a lot of really strange misconceptions in America. So Tantra Nova, they are legitimate. I was having a situation with a significant other. I didn't really know about Tantra, but I knew that, you know, we had love, but we didn't have intimacy. And, you know, I wasn't even sure what that was, but something led me to Tantra. And I think when I found Elizabeth online, the first email I sent her was just like, help. And she emails me back instantly and, you know, always checked in with me, and I did private sessions, and she was really sweet. But, you know, just in my searching online, I did run across a couple ladies that claim to be Tantra practitioners, but I do believe they might have been prostitutes. So can you just, like, tell people, you know, kind of just touch on a little bit about the misconceptions about Tantra out there, and what they need to be careful, or what they need to look for to find somebody legitimate? Like, you all are in Chicago, and I know you all work all over, but for those people listening that might not be able to get to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things Tantra, let's say, is many things. And one of the things is to say yes to a lot of things that seem contrary. Like, there's a term called sacred whore. So if you think of a whore as something that's negative, but then think of it that she's actually doing a service that is of value to her and someone else. If you can come from that place, not from, oh, I've been subjected to do this because I can't do anything else and I make a lot of money at it and I'm going to just burn it away as soon as I get through. Not from that place, but from, a place of acceptance. Then looking for someone to teach you Tantra or share with you some of the practices that anyone who comes willing can tap into and use to be more happy and fulfilled in their life, then they need to, you know, you have to have your own listening and just listen for yourself, because many people will just take the sexual aspect of Tantra or sex consciousness and just do the sexual. So if someone says, well, I'm going to work with you just sexually, and you go and you have maybe a very sacred for them healing experience, but you don't give yourself time to really practice the fundamentals of working with life force or sexual energy in a way that we draw on it differently than we do when we're in a mutual lovemaking setting, or even, as I said earlier, masturbating. But really working with from the fundamentals that we work with, the breath, meditative mind, and being present, more present in that to your sexual energy, whether it's, you know, a high arousal or low arousal.
Yeah, so you want to look for a school where they offer, where it is an educational experience, and also looking at the credentials of the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And And then, as Freddie said, really, you know, sensing. I mean, there is the aspect of, you know, what they are saying, what they offer, but then also, you know, what sense do you have of the website, how they express themselves? Are they deeply committed to this work and assisting others in their education?
Yeah, and that you can pretty much tell. I mean, the length of time they've been doing what they've been doing, the kind of reviews that they're getting, how systemic is their work in terms of, you know, proliferation. Have they done books, DVDs? What shows have they been associated with? And those are the kinds of things that one can look for in, you know, sussing up or making a decision on who you might want to learn some of these practices from.
Okay. And, you know, just generally people seem to have a, you know, a fear of the unknown. And
sure.
Because, you know, Tantra is something that is definitely, you know, new. One of the questions we have that came through is, and, you know, of course, every workshop is different. Every experience is going to be, you know, tailored to the group or to the needs of the person if it's private. But the one question that came through is, what might a workshop or course entail? What might a workshop or course entail is the question.
Oh, okay. So it depends a little bit on the level. So our introductory workshop, 2-hour workshop, is designed so that people can get an overview and also an introduction to some of our foundational practices. As Freddie Santal mentioned, the foundation has to do with breathing, with becoming aware of the chatter mind, you know, the busy mind that comments or something. What is she talking about?
You the narrative, the negative narrative.
Yeah, or any narrative. It just so because that actually prevents us from being in the present moment. It prevents us from connecting with our intimate self. And there are certain exercises also we do for the pelvic floor. The pelvic floor is connected to our sexual center. So we want to really keep that center, this area, alive. And probably most of the listeners are familiar with Kegel exercises or at least have heard about Kegels. And so we work with that, however coordinated with the breath, that assists, you know, us women to bring more aliveness to our feminine center, to our intimate center, not only to embellish our orgasmic capacity, but also to connect with our grounded being as a woman. And for the men, it's essential that he learns to train that pelvic floor muscle, his pelvic floor muscle as well, so that he can affect his, you know, the ejaculatory reflex that happens, you know, if a man has early ejaculation or whatever may be there, he cannot sustain or all of that.
Overcoming the desire to want to.
Yeah, or just,
okay.
Yeah. So that's a great way for the men to learn to distinguish between that reflex that goes off, that ends in ejaculation, and the orgasmic energy that he can sustain as long as he wants to. But he needs to learn to master that muscle.
Okay.
So that is part of the introductory workshop. And, of course, in a one-day workshop, we go deeper, and in the three-day workshop, we teach the healing rituals. Now, there's no nudity in our workshops. Mm-hmm. All the intimate practices are done as homework practice.
Right.
Okay. Okay, I think that's, yeah, what people want to know. And we have someone who called and wants to ask a question. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So I wanted to ask, does your workshop teach you a woman how to ejaculate?
You know, we used to have a course on that, but a woman can learn to do that. One of the big questions is to what extent, I mean, to what end would one want to do that? There is an experience for many women of the ejaculation that you mentioned, learning to do, where there is clear fluid secreted from the G-spot or Grafenberg spot. It's an area right behind the clitoris, just up against the pubic bone, and it's a spongy material, and it secretes a clear fluid at high points of arousal, and it's another level of let-go for women. And you can learn to do it by just massaging that area just behind the clitoris, and you can learn to, it'll feel like urination, but in just pushing, allowing through that, oftentimes the amrita can happen. That's a tantric Sanskrit term, amrita, but in a Western terminology, just as female ejaculation.
Yeah, we teach this more in one-on-one sessions. You know, a couple works with us, and then we teach them the techniques and ways of you know, generating that, and then a couple goes home and practices at home.
But how do you know, I mean, if you've never done it before and you're really, really aroused, you're really enjoying yourself, and then you get to that point but you feel like you're going to
urinate,
pee all over your partner, then how do you distinguish between the feelings?
Well, you don't have to worry about it. The key is to take a shower curtain and put it under your sheet. So whatever fluids or wet fluids, don't you have to worry about a stain in the bed, you know, a wet spot. And just allow yourself to experience it. When we would teach it as a workshop, I would have women first stimulate, or, you know, be stimulated with a full bladder and have that same setup logistically, as I just mentioned, with the shower curtain under the, you know, a sheet. And stimulate yourself until you feel like you want to urinate, because you'll want to feel that way, because this G-spot or Grafenberg spot sits right under the bladder. And just allow yourself to have the urination, or maybe the amrita, and then do the same process with an empty bladder. And then that builds a capacity and the ability to be comfortable with the feeling, as you mentioned.
Yeah. And there are a few other steps you want to learn, which I think goes beyond now this call,
yeah.
But if you're interested in this, then, you know, you can either call us or set up a session with your husband, with us.
Well, and you watch this to make sure I'm doing it right? Like,
so you'll know if you're doing it right. Once you get the techniques and the ways how to do it, you'll know.
Okay.
If you have any other questions? Caller?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, just a couple more questions before we wrap up. They're saying, why are people so disconnected from self and, you know, and others? Like, what's happened to us that's made us, you know, just kind of live on this surface level of existence?
Well, let me just say quickly that, you know, we're evolving humanness, you know, and we're fairly new to using our higher intellectual brains, you know, relative to the lifetime of the universe, new. So I think we haven't evolved to actualizing more fully the gods that we are and goddesses, the goddesses and gods that we are. I mean, we are creating on the planet shifts that never were created before by humankind. Mm-hmm. Climate shifts, our exploration, and even our ability to disseminate health care, or in most instances war, which is an indicator of our consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
Go ahead, Elspeth.
Yeah, I just think it's, you know, it's a big part of the human condition. And, like, this misunderstanding that we are all by ourselves. And, yes, mm-hmm. on a physical level, there is truth to that. However, on an energetic level, we are all connected.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little difficult to get our brain around that, because we experience ourselves so much, you know, being disconnected and alone. You know, the experience when we come into this world.
Mm-hmm.
The umbilical cord is cut off, and then there we are on our own. On a physical level, yeah. I mean, then, of course, we get nourished, and for quite a number of months, we are totally supported by our mother. But the experience of separation happens early on. However, to see that energetically we are all connected, I mean, it's a law in physics, or at least they are, you know, have this theory that we are all energetically connected. So just like we, you know, the vibration of my vocal cords travel through the phone, you know, the frequencies to the listener's phone, and then the eardrums get vibrated, and then we can hear it. So it's just like we are not connected. We are not disconnected. We are totally connected energetically, and we can see it through these vocalizations, through the acoustics. And that is also why when we breathe together into each other's heart center, we literally connect with the frequency of love. There's a particular frequency that resides in our heart center, which is in the middle of the chest. And every child knows it. You know, when a little girl says to her mom, "Oh, mommy, I love you so much," and she touches herself on her heart center. You know, like that is where she holds her hands, because this is where she feels it.
Wow.
So it's this whole energy business is really great to explore further, because it will allow us to come more to connection.
And, you know, I think Tantra to me sounds like something that as couples for sure we should be doing as a proactive measure, like something we should get into the practice of, you know, when things are good or things are regular. But what happens is I think we seek help or seek practices when we're in crisis mode, you know, and our brain is kind of stuck on fight or flight, you know, so we're not open to what we may perceive as, you know, airy-fairy woo-woo things. That's how society has kind of programmed us to think of, you know, things like Tantra or anything spiritual. But why is Tantra and, you know, the teachings of Tantra Nova, why is it so fundamental at any point?
Well, you know, at this point in history, it's an interesting time when science and spirituality are saying that we're connected, you know, we're one. And, you know, so if science is really starting to uncover the mystery of connection and the importance and the foundational, fundamental reality of connection, then anything counter to that is dysfunctional and not clearly not good for existence. So I think as, you know, an evolving species wanting to continue to evolve, we're going to move towards the glasses half full. So the meditative mind, being conscious of this life force of sexual energy that was creating life before we, as thinking Homo sapiens, had anywhere of our own existence, you know, it's fundamental to our, and foundational and essential to our continued growth and expansion. You know, like 100 years ago, we couldn't feed everybody on the planet, but we could actually do it now. But we haven't really gotten and made that spiritual quantum leap. And it's my contention, our contention, that this sexual energetic doorway is really the last frontier for us as an evolving species to really get and make that next leap. Because how can, you know, what we could, what we're advocating is not Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, we could teach these practices to nuns and priests if they were vowed to celibacy. It's really learning to draw on our life force of sexual energy as it exists creatively and pleasurably, that we can become more actualized and easier with, you know, the ups and downs and all that happen in life.
It sounds so empowering. You know what I mean? Like we've been taught to think so small in life, and this just sounds really expansive and empowering. So I guess the last question I had was, you know, they always teach us that, like, men and women are so different, like we're from different planets, you know, like we may as well be different species. Like, when you all are doing y'all's teachings, does it seem that way? Like, there's something that generally men need to learn most to connect, and something that is totally opposite that women need to learn most? Or is there something that just humanity, like men and women, need to learn? Like, what have y'all experienced?
it's human, humanity, yes, absolutely, that we each have to learn more about ourselves, and in that learning more about each other, coming from that we're, you know, all connected, zygotes, you know, we're androgynous at some level, we're living together, dying together. For the male, in terms of the sexual energetic, is that that consciousness in that aspect of our unconsciousness is a group in terms of, you know, look, Ma, no hands, you know, I have an erection. And then we're run by our erections our whole life. It looks too much, it's too, you know, we're run by it. Falling in love, out of love, possessing, you know, all the stuff that is associated with that energy. You know, so this is the time for men to really tap into that and really get the masculine, feminine dynamic of life and the flow and just be a little easier with ourselves, tap into our emotional self, be convicted in your convictions, as a male species, and be harmonious. That's all really ultimately it's about.
And I'd like to mention, too, that Tantra is so expansive because it goes beyond just couples or relationships or sex or anything like that. Also, in pregnancy, I know, I've had experiences with people that worked with you that learned breathing techniques that work during pregnancy. So, you know, it has to do with connection and creation on so many deeper levels. So just wanted to mention that. So the key points I heard today, besides, like, all the great information we got, was, you know, we may be looking for Tantra to help us connect with our partner, but the base, the foundation, is to start with self, connect with self.
You know,
take time to breathe, find that thing that makes you come alive, and enjoy the journey and not just the destination. And Wonder Wives, our co-organizer, Alice, came up with challenges, which have been really great because a lot of times we get information and then, you know, we're like, okay, that's great, and then life happens and the next day we've forgotten about it. So if you all could give us one challenge, it could be a challenge to do for the day or the night or for the month, whatever, but a challenge so people could take away something tangible to begin with. What is a challenge that you could give the listeners to do to start them on their journey?
Yeah, I actually would like to give them a couple of challenges.
Great.
One is to do when they go to sleep, this evening, lie down in their bed, then to do the belly breathing, to place the hands on the belly around the navel area and just to breathe 10 times, a deep breath in all the way into the belly so that the belly expands into the hand, and then letting the belly flatten with the exhale. It just happens by itself. And to do this 10 times with full focus and concentration, like being present to one's own belly breath. It will really, the result will be a great good night's sleep.
And don't let your attention waver as the thoughts come in.
Yeah.
Come back to focus of the rise and fall of the belly. Just give yourself 10 breaths, and we begin to separate out how busy our minds are and the narrative or the story that we create that then creates our, you know, results.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the other challenge is, and we help with that a little bit, is to get the free giveaway, the 10 practices called Creating Intimacy and Love. The first practice is actually the belly breath, the breathing practice as we described it now. And it's depicted on that sheet. So if people want to go, the listeners want to go to www.tantranova.com, TAN, like in Nancy, TRA, N like in Nancy, O, V like in Victor, A.com. The home page at the right, in the right top corner, if you leave your name and email address, you will automatically get the 10 practices creating intimacy and love.
Great. And is the website the best way for people to connect with you all, or what other contact information did you have?
So either through the website, another contact information, or at 773-525-5006. Again, that's 773-525-5006. Or by email, tantranova@tantranova.com. And both Ray Santal and I get your email under this email address, and then we can respond accordingly.
Okay, perfect. And Yara, did you have anything else?
Well, the only thing that I wanted to add is I had a blast with Elizabeth and Freddie. Thank you guys for doing the interview.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Yara.
It was our pleasure. And just so that our listeners know, my husband and myself actually went through the entire workshops that they do. So three children later, and we're still very happy. So we still use it, and the breathing techniques were so dynamic, I actually used them in natural birth.
Mm.
So, you know, you guys have definitely imparted on our lives, and, you know, we continue to spread that energy. So you guys are awesome.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Oh, thank you so much.
Keep that love light burning, kiddo.
So you have one success story, and I'm sure many, many, many more. So that's great. Well, again, anyone listening, go to tantranova.com and enter to get the 10 practices to create intimacy and love. And for sure, reach out to them, whether you're in a relationship or not. They can definitely help you move forward on your journey to connection, intimacy, and love. So we just wanted to say thank you, thank you, thank you to Freddie and Elizabeth, to Yara, and to the Wonder Wives. And please join us next week. We'll be interviewing Crystal Wall, who's the wife of Grammy-nominated rapper Paul Wall, as she discusses balancing marriage, motherhood, and also she and her husband's amazing natural weight loss transformation. So this was a great show. Thank you, everybody, and have an amazing rest of your week.
Thank
Bye.
You. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for opening your ears, opening your mind, and opening your heart to receive the seeds planted on another dynamic broadcast of Influential. For more soul food, please follow here on Blog Talk Radio to hear future shows. Join me on Twitter at AlignMeSarni and also at sarnisprawl.wordpress.com. Both links are found on this show page. Like tires on a car, when your life is in alignment, you glide straight to where you want to go. Please take what you've learned today, go out into the world, and align and shine. Talk to you soon.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips.
Minions! More smoky mesquite.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.